Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another special edition of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very, very pleased to be able to broadcast with you, to you, connect with you one-on-one, and certainly to share information, to share inspiration, and certainly to move forward with true liberation for our people worldwide. Tonight's program is a special edition, as indicated, and it is, of course, a salute, a special salute to none other than John Coltrane. And we're doing this salute for several reasons. One, because he is certainly worthy for us to pay tribute and salute, but also so that we can prepare further in a spiritual way to deal with the exploitation, the degradation that is now happening throughout hip-hop, the music industry, and entertainment in general. And so we want to now connect with some of those pioneers, some of those great minds, those great artists who showed us, who conveyed to us how spiritual our music is in all forms. And, of course, John Coltrane is an excellent example. And today marks the day of his ascension, of the day that he became an ancestor. We have to share the information about those who have come before us. We have to make certain that we instill in our youth the information from some of those pioneers. So we say from bebop to hip-hop to ma'at. Welcome to this segment of New Day, Resurrection, Liberation, a love supreme. Tonight's program, again, is a tribute to none other than John Coltrane, but also we are going to connect the dots, as we said earlier, and in doing so, we're going to talk to a pioneer of today. We're going to talk to a couple of them, actually, but one particularly as it pertains to hip-hop, because we're talking a lot about the music of today and what we're seeing happen with that music. And we know if we don't begin to step in and do something about it, well, we're not going to have any kind of music representing the true spirit and the true vibration of our people. I believe it was Del Jones who once talked about cultural bandits. And we're hearing and seeing all kinds of nonsense in the music that we held so dearly. And so with that said, again, we're going to connect the dots, and a little later on, we're going to talk with a brother who's actually from Philly, but of course is known nationwide, even worldwide, for his hard-hitting lyrics and being a part of one of the groups that comes out of Philly again, The Roots. We're talking about none other than Dice Raw. We're going to be talking with him very shortly, and my co-host for tonight, who has been wonderful to embrace and now to have him a part of New Day and vice versa. We're going to have our brother Yassim going to join us. And of course, Yassim is from 360 Wise Guy Group Production. Okay, and he's going to tell you a little more about that a little later on as well. But again, it's important that we connect the historical significance of our music to today. And if any of you ever heard The Roots, you certainly can hear some of the influences that some of our masters have had on their music. And these are our masters. If you've gotten our e-blast earlier, then you know that Europeans call their classical music, people like Bach and Chopin and so forth, well, we call jazz our classical music. And so when we start talking about great artists such as John Coltrane, needs to say he took it to a whole nother level. And that's what we're saying we have to do today, take it to a whole nother level. So with that said, there's a group that comes from out of the Detroit area, and that group is known as In the Tradition. And we're going to talk with the co-founder very, very shortly of In the Tradition. And you're going to hear again that, indeed, the tradition does, in fact, continue, because in the music of In the Tradition, as well as a few other artists today, you're going to hear again that legacy, that spirit, that sound, that feeling that we get from John Coltrane. Used to say, we're going to also talk tonight more about the Trayvon Martin fiasco in terms of the verdict that was given. We're going to talk about that and continue the dialogue in terms of what we're going to do to address that situation. And certainly we mean that we're going to have a boycott. That and then some. But we're going to have an open mic tonight, as we have for the past few nights. And so when we're talking with our guests, we invite you all to join us tonight and give your comments, your views, and so forth and so on. And we want you to, of course, pass on the information, because it's very, very important. What we're getting ready to say to the music industry is, hell no, you're not going to continue to get away with degrading our women and attempting to defame the significant people in our movement, such as Emmett Till. We're not having it anymore, and we're going to do something about it. Love supreme. Do we have that for ourselves? Do we have that for one another? Will we have that for the future? I dare say yes. And that's why this program, again, tonight is so important, because we have to make certain that we don't forget and that we don't let others forget. Tonight's program is, of course, a tribute to John Coltrane, but also to all of our great, great musicians and ancestors, and certainly for those who are, you know, striving today to be the type of artist that we know we need to have in our midst. There are a few examples, and as I said, we're going to go to our live line very shortly, and we're going to talk with a living example today. You know, if we don't put the information out and share things about our music, then who do we think is going to do that? And so this is why it's so important that we make certain that you are, you know, very aware of the type of music that is circulating throughout the country, other than the nonsense that you're hearing often on the radio, the commercial radio. And, you know, these people are just really about what? Money. You know, about commercialization of an art form that is real, et cetera, et cetera. But you all know that. So, again, we're just going to share with you some of our findings, and we want to make certain that we continue to put information out there to you. In a few moments, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us very, very shortly is, again, the co-founder of a group that is coming out of the Detroit area, In the Tradition. We're going to talk with one of the members of that group, and as I said, the co-founder of that group, and his name is Kofi Mensah, but he's also known as Olajimi Tapataona. I'm and in the background is in the tradition. And as I said, you can hear, you can feel the vibrations, and with that, the continuation of the legacy. Of course, we're talking about John Coltrane, but we're also talking about keeping black music the way it's supposed to be. A little later on, we're going to talk with our brother from the roots, Dice Raw. And again, keeping the tradition, keeping the legacy. And with that, as we move forward to make certain that justice prevails in the murder of Trayvon Martin, in the murder of so many of our people, we will remember that oftentimes when our people had no voice, at least not one that would be heard without some real serious consequences, the one thing that they had, and the one thing we will always have, is our music. And with that said, we're going to get ready to go to our live line, and I think, let's see, we're going to first go to my co-host, I think. Brother Yassim should be ready to come up with us tonight, because I want him to join in with our first dialogue with talking with our brother from In the Tradition. So let me see, I think we got Brother Yassim on, hopefully, this line right here. Let's see.
I'm here.
Our boards are hot tonight. All right, brother, we got you. All right. Greetings to you tonight.
Greetings to you as well, Sister Empress Chi.
Oh, wow. Love. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Well, this is going to be a beautiful show right here. I love that John Coltrane that you have rolling in the
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wonderful.
You know, I think we kicked it off really right with a Love Supreme.
Yes,
powerful.
Nice and smooth.
Powerful. Absolutely.
Powerful. Because, hey, you know, those other folks, I like to call them those other folks, they like to take everything that was designed and given to us and manipulate it and call it their own, right, when it comes to the arts and
Absolutely.
Music.
Oh, yeah, we know. That's why now you had this thing called soft jazz, and it's primarily a lot of white people, you know, and so this is why it's so important that we bring the real and bring it, interestingly enough, bring it raw.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. Okay, well, let's get this thing rocking and rolling tonight. And speaking of rocking and rolling, by the way, family, you all do know that many of the R&B, shall we say, rhythms and so forth, well, you know where a lot of that came from. Well, if you don't know, you will know tonight. Okay, brother, you ready? We're getting ready to open this up.
That's
and
right.
We're going
Let's
to go to
up.
Our first interview for tonight, our first dialogue. And again, we're going to talk with a brother who represents the group, Brother Yassim, from out of the Detroit area. And you all know Detroit is known for many things, and certainly not just automobiles, okay? But without a doubt, they are also known for music. Okay, and so it's more than appropriate that we talk with someone who comes from the Detroit area, representing a jazz ensemble that has, not turned their back on the tradition, on the legacy of our people. And so with that said, we're going to talk with our brother, I call him Brother Kofi, and that's his AKA kind of persona, but in the professional world, he goes by another name, and that other name is Ojimi Tafasona. And what we're going to do is open up our mic in a moment and bring the brother in. Trying to pull up now, we wanted to give you a little information about him first. And so we got that coming in right about now. And also, as you're listening, family, you are hearing some of the selections from one of the albums, one of the CDs from the Into Tradition family. Okay, but at any rate, what we have here is that Brother Ozimi is a jazz saxophonist, and of course when we talk about John Coltrane, well, we're right in tune with that. He's also a composer and an arranger, and for the past 20 years he has led the group known as In the Tradition, and again you are hearing that in the background. And so, you know, we're going to talk with this brother tonight, but he also wants to make certain that I mention to you all that he is in fact a Pan-Africanist and a political activist. And so without further ado, we're going to open up that mic, and we're going to welcome Olujimi Tafataona to the New Day Resurrection family, and we're going to talk about the legacy of John Coltrane and the influence that John Coltrane still has on us today and will have on us tomorrow and so forth and so on. Brother Yasim, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's get it bubbling.
Let's get it on. All right. We're going to bring in Brother Olujimi Tafataona. Greetings, brother. Are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am. And good evening to both of you.
Good evening, my brother.
All right. Good thing. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we're hearing in the background, and certainly about your group. Tell us a little bit about it. How did it get started?
Well, we began as a what I would call a bebop quintet, and gradually, as we began to take on more and more of the African influence in our music, I decided that we were just going to delve deeper into the culture, into many influences of African peoples throughout the diaspora, and we were just going to become completely African-centered in our approach to the music.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I can certainly hear that, and I'm sure our family bear witness to that as well. I'm sure, just in hearing, you know, your particular segments of some of the tunes I've listened to, you certainly have been influenced by John Coltrane. Is that true?
Oh, yes. it's interesting that you mentioned that. During my development as a musician, and particularly as a saxophonist, the music of John Coltrane was especially influential on me. My father, my late father, was a heavy fan of John Coltrane, and his music permeated throughout our household. And later, as I developed on the instrument, I was drawn to his music, particularly by the spiritual nature of it. And it's the same type of feeling that I got listening to his expression that I got, I would say 11 years ago when I attended Carabana up in Toronto, Ontario, which is a celebration that takes place every August in which African people throughout the world come together. And there, my first experience there, there had to be 250,000 of us from all over. I mean, it didn't matter if we spoke Spanish, English, French. When we came together, we didn't even need words. It was like there was a Holy Spirit or something that floated throughout that city, and we were all just there and just loving each other, and it didn't matter what language anybody spoke. We didn't need words to communicate. We just enjoyed being with each other. And I had the same type of epiphany when I was exposed to John Coltrane's music, and it was such an influence on me that after a while I had to stop listening because I didn't want to become a copycat of his music, so to speak, and because that was quickly happening. So I had to let it go, but that influence was overwhelming on me.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, you were so immersed into the music and the influence of John Coltrane that you said, hold on a second, let me just turn down that volume so it doesn't mix into what the spirit has for you to do. Is that somewhere in the guidelines of what you're saying?
Yeah, because at a very influential period of my development, I was so tuned into the spiritual nature of the music that it was affecting the way my output was developing. And I didn't want to sound like a carbon copy. I didn't want my own personality to become blurred. But there is such a strong spiritual nature to his music that it'll dwarf you if you're not careful with it. And I wanted to maintain my own personal identity inside of the music. So at a certain point, I had to stop listening because that music is so infectious. And if you're in tune spiritually, you'll get caught up in it to the point of no return.
Wow. That's well said, but I can say the same about your music as well, my brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm very honored to hear that. And I try to compose the music from within the heart, and I try to make it as reflective as possible so that there's something in there that all of us can relate to. Even if you can't understand technically what goes into the making of the music, there's got to be something in there that connects on a spiritual level, and that's been my effort. That's what I've tried to do.
Yeah, you've done a great job.
Well, thank you.
Let me, and have you ever integrated any other type of music or genres with your music?
Well, when I decided that we were going to pursue the African influence all out, it was because of the current European domination of that art form that we call jazz. It is an African people's music. Yet and still, we don't control the industry. We don't employ ourselves. And European people have completely immersed themselves in the control of that music. And I decided on a conscious level that our culture is so vast that there were other elements that I could encompass into the music. That was a deliberate and conscious decision that I made. So there are so many different genres inside of our genres that I decided that it's virtually limitless. So as far as any other influences or elements, if it's non-African, I limited those. I deliberately want to look inside of the culture, and there's so much to explore with our people's music that it's just given me a lifetime of work that I can pursue.
Okay.
Let's go to, we have a couple of callers, I think, here. And we have a few callers that may have a question or a comment. So we're going to go to call, you're at 3746. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight? 3746? Okay. Let's try another caller. We're going to go to, let's see, let's try 6251. Did you have a question or a comment for us tonight? We're opening up your mic right about now. It's taking a minute for some reason.
Yeah, and Sister Emperor.
Yeah,
Sister Chief, 3746 is Dice Raw.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to hold on that one then. I got you. All right. Okay, we're going to go to 6251.
Do you have a comment or question for us tonight? Oh, no, thank you.
Greetings. Do you have a comment or question for us tonight, sister? Okay, I guess we know. Let's try 6426. I think that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. All right. Okay, our boards are all scrambled up tonight because we have so many calls. We're going to try one more time for 6251. Okay, so for some reason we're having some problems connecting tonight. So I guess we'll have to continue our questions that we want to ask to Brother Yassim. So
yes.
Let's see.
Let me ask, has there ever been any hip hop groups mending or merging with your jazz music? Maybe any type of conscious rap groups or like precise science or something of that nature?
I tell you what, we have the last two recordings, I've endeavored to delve into some subject matter that was dear to my heart, that I felt that I wouldn't do justice if I did the lyric myself. So I sought out a revolutionary sister here in Detroit, a strong conscious sister who's a strong poet, and we collaborated, and it was a true artistic collaboration. On the previous CD entitled The Tradition Continues, there's a piece that that I wrote called Yorugu, and that is a direct reference to the piece, book by Sister Marimba Ani. And this piece, which runs 13 minutes, I went and got Sister Aurora Harris to do the narrative, and it blended so well. And it the recording itself has received numerous airplay around the country, and it's one of our most respected or requested air pieces that's been aired. And on this particular recording, Serious, we continued in that vein. I wanted to use the music as some type of clarion call and unifying force for our people. So I came up with this concept for a song entitled A Pan-African Prayer. And what that is my prayer that our people come together globally in the unifying spirit of that African Holy Spirit that I experienced up in Toronto. And I know that it's possible. And I had this sister compose this piece, and she did it. It's 14 minutes long. In fact, we just performed a version of this piece at the Underground Railroad Freedom Center in Cincinnati on June the 21st. And both of those pieces have been widely accepted universally, and I'm very proud of that. And anything that I can do that can draw our people's attention not only to the music, but to what we're supposed to be about, global African unity, I think that's one of the things that we must, as artists, use our music to do, and to heal our people, to point them in the direction that they need to go in. And I'm proud to say that, personally, both of those pieces were artistic successes for me, and I'm very honored that the segment of our population has recognized that, and the feeling I get from that is one of satisfaction, and there's much more work to be done.
Praise
no
God.
Doubt, no
That's
doubt. My brother, let me ask you, and of course for many of our people, we are still kind of, our heads are still reeling a bit from that verdict that came about on Saturday, or for the lack of verdict, shall we say. As an artist, what do you feel that artists can do or should do in raising the conscious level and raising their voices, but utilizing their art to further expose the system and certainly the injustices that we're experiencing today, such as this fiasco that we just bore witness to this Saturday? How do you think we can do more to educate our people, but to be also more involved in what's going on today?
Let me answer that in a couple of ways. Before this verdict came down, I was asked a very similar question about the artist and their responsibility by John Ridley, a jazz radio personality in Cincinnati. And he asked me, he said, "Brother Olu Jimmy, why is it that more of our artists don't use the music in the way that you do?" First of all, let me say this. Number one, they have to know. And a lot of our artists, even though we make them wealthy with ticket sales and recording receipts and so forth, and we lionize them, a lot of our artists simply don't know themselves. They don't know who they are. As fantastic artists that they are, they don't have that information themselves. So you can't speak on something which you know nothing about. The artist has a responsibility to educate themselves, too, especially before you start making public proclamations or taking public positions. I believe in what the Honorable Marcus Garvey said, you should educate yourself fully to the subject matter and then also educate yourself fully to the person or persons that are presenting the subject. As an artist, I feel that you should reflect the community which produced you. And it's not about self-aggrandizement. We're blessed when our people support us, and we owe them for that. And it's not about building these towers of wealth and so forth and isolating yourself from the community. As an artist, I am also a political activist. I've been involved in the reparations movement. I've helped close crack houses. I've gotten out there and put my life on the line in many different situations in which I won't go into at this point in time. But my history is well documented, and it just so happens that I'm an activist who's also a musician of consciousness.
Right.
Powerfully said.
Thank you.
Powerfully said. So it's more so the position for an artist, especially when you're taking the platform and you have a platform of listeners, if I'm getting this correct, what you're telling the masses is that the content is a must or is useless and you're getting paid to just seclude yourself where you probably need to be secluded, but somebody else is getting rich at the same time off of the buffoonery.
Exactly. We, as artists, have to understand something. You live in a capitalist system, and you live on the inside of a fascist government, and I'm calling it like it is. We don't control our own culture, which produces wealth for other people. We don't own the entertainment industry, at least that aspect of it in which we produce the wealth. We're the product, and we produce product. But the planes that deliver the product around the world, we don't own that. The licensing, okay, that the agreements and so forth that produces the product, we don't control that, even though we are the product. Something's wrong with that. And when you can become satisfied with obtaining your little station in life and you don't see how it affects the masses of your people, then you need to do a checkup from the neck up. You need to understand the reality of this situation. If someone can give you something, they can take it away. We have to understand that our people have to be empowered to support us. I recognize that as an artist, had it not been for that network of black disc jockeys around this country who looked at my music and decided that it had to go out over the airwaves, and they asked me to continue to produce this type of music. Had it not been for them, I wouldn't be heard right now in the many markets that I'm heard around the world. And we have to support each other that way. But remember, as an artist, you've got to make something that's relevant, that's positive for your people as well. It's okay to want to pursue fame and fortune, I guess, if that's what you're about. But there's something that comes along with that. There's a responsibility that's inherent in that. I'm not a musician because I sought wealth, and obviously not because I'm not wealthy right now, but I love what I do. But more than anything, I love the people who instill the values in me that inform my music, and it is from them that I'm able to produce and create the art that that I'm able to do right now.
Right. Do you have a new project coming up, or
we're gonna. I have been exhorted by many of the radio personalities around the country, and I know some of them are listening right now down in Atlanta and in Grand Rapids. I know they're listening, and in North Carolina, I know that they've asked me to continue to along the path that I'm doing, and I intend to do that until I draw my last. And we have something on the drawing board right now. We hope to have it available in the spring. But I will surprise you and tell you that the proposed title for the next project is Ubunye Obumnayama, which in Zulu means black unity. And I think you know where I'm going with that. And that will be a double disc, too. And it's going to delve even further into the subject that we've just been discussing. And I think, especially on the heels of this verdict, which I fully expected, I think that type of thing is needed more than ever. I think black artists, and you know what, I'm going to get away from that word black because no other race constantly refers to their color. I'm going to call us what we are. I think African artists need to be responsible and start doing the things that Eddie LaVert and Stevie Wonder call for example, boycotting Florida as far as their performances and withholding their performance dollars. And I think that if we realized that if we used our economics correctly, we could bring this system to its knees within 24 hours. But we have to, first of all, set out an agenda for African people. I did not say everybody. I said African people. Africans have to have an agenda for themselves. And if that means going into a closed room and having a family spat in order to iron out what it is we're going to be about, then we need to do that. But the artists definitely need to get amongst themselves, and they need to decide that they're going to take a principal position as to the social and economic realities of our people in this country. And it ain't about bling-blanging and all of that. What can we do to help affect the outcome of this situation inside of this matrix that our people are living in?
Indeed. Well, brother, let me ask you, for all of the listeners and the material that you currently have out, why don't you bless them with a little insight on where they could pick it up and where they could find it?
You can go to our website, which is www.inthetraditionjazz.net, and you can purchase our various recordings there. And you can also go to cdbaby.com and search for In the Tradition, and also amazon.com and the usual digital distributors carry our product as well. And if you would like to get a glimpse of what we do, you can go to our website and click on our YouTube channel, and you can see some of the various clips of performances that we've given recently. And we hope to have a video available this summer, too, which will be available on our website, of the concert that we did at the Underground Railroad Freedom Center. I have to say this about that that center. There is a eternal flame that burns outside of that museum that overlooks Kentucky that's directly related to the Underground Railroad. And when you look at that flame, that represents the spirit of all of our ancestors who sought to use that railroad to come north up through Illinois and through Michigan to escape to Canada. I was very deeply affected by that. And it left such a lasting impression on me. Much the same as during my visit to Jacksonville, Florida, and looking at the Atlantic Ocean and looking at that dark water and realizing what lays at the bottom of it. And these things are things that if you're an African of any consciousness, you have to be moved by these symbols and this history that we've undergone. I've been blessed to be in contact with other artists and brothers and sisters in Panama and Colombia, and it is amazing to see the organizing that has taken place in these other areas and the red, black, and green flying so mightily. It's important that we realize that all great movements among people were never led by the masses, but by that small intelligentsia who was conscious enough to know that they had to take a foot forward and lead their people, and I'm proud to count myself among that number.
Definitely proud for you to be part of that number. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, my brother. Well, we want to thank you again for, you know, taking the time to join us tonight as we do this special salute to none other than John Coltrane. And for those who do not know, John Coltrane is canonized. We want to give you a little more information about that later on as well. But, again, we want to thank our brother for joining us tonight. And, of course, in the background, we're hearing now one of the classics of John Coltrane, Africa.
I am humbled and honored.
Yes,
I'm humbled and honored. Thank you.
Thank you again, my brother.
Now, also,
and thank
you
both.
Before we let you go, you have a couple of gigs coming up. For those who might be listening, and the I think you have one coming up in maybe what, Cincinnati or Detroit?
Yes, this Friday, inside of the enclave that's inside of Detroit, known as Highland Park, we will be at the Highland Park Music Festival at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and next Friday. On let's see, from 1:30 in the afternoon to 4:30 in the afternoon, we'll be at the Sterling Heights Music Festival, Sterling Fest in Sterling Heights, Michigan, which is right outside Detroit, a northern suburb.
Right, very good. And before you go, please give out that website information one more time. And
yes, our website is www.inthetraditionjazz.net, and our Facebook page is In the Tradition Jazz Ensemble, and we invite everyone to check us out and like us, if you would.
Okay, and again, they can purchase your CD by going to what location again?
They can go to our webpage, inthetraditionjazz.net, and also cdbaby.com. Type in search engine In the Tradition, and you can also go to Amazon.com and any of the major digital distributors.
Okay, very good. All right, family, you heard it right here at New Day Resurrection and Liberation. We've been talking with Brother Ogunjimi Tapatona, and what you're hearing, or have been hearing since we've been talking tonight with our brother, is some of the selections from one of several CDs that is available. So by all means, please be supportive. It's sad that our brother had to say, if it wasn't for white people, the music would not be heard. We got to make sure that don't keep happening. That is absolutely ridiculous. We know how to communicate. We know how to get information circulated. So let's do that. My brother, I thank you again for joining us. And we look
thank
forward
you so
to
much.
Hearing more from you soon.
Thank you so much, and I'm humbled and honored by you both.
Thank you, my brother. Peace and blessings. Thank you very much.
Peace and blessings. Good night.
All right. Okay, family, what we're going to do now is take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking with none other than Dice Raw. Again, we're connecting the dots, bringing music to you for the development of your mind, your spirit, and certainly for the continuation of liberation. I know our brother just said that, you know, we call ourselves black. We're the only people that refer to ourselves as in a color. Well, you know, for me, I have no problem with that, you know. As far as I'm concerned, I was black before anything else, because that's where all of the essence of everything comes from. So I'm cool with that. But at any rate, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear a little more from none other than John William Coltrane. This one is called Africa. We'll be right back. Again, we thank him for joining us this evening, this segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation, and it is a special edition, a tribute to John Coltrane, but also It's an apparatus that we're using to bring forward a few projects that we are collaborating on. Myself and, of course, my co-host tonight is Brother Yassim, who, of course, is from the 360 Wise Guy group. And, again, we thank our brother for joining us tonight.
Yeah,
Brother Yassim, how do you enjoy our brother from In the Tradition?
Just a very laid, it just complimented to the laid-back vibe that the whole show has been bringing with the John Coltrane in the back. Historical to have him on the line with his travels, along with the music and the implementation of the healing that he's utilizing his gift with through the music. It was profound engagement.
Absolutely, brother. No doubt. You know, it's kind of wonderful to just not, I won't say, chill out, you know, from the past few days, but to just kind of, you know, allow ourselves to reflect a little bit. And certainly in listening to John Coltrane, it definitely allows one to do that. And we're very, very appreciative. You know, these past few days have been extremely, extremely hectic, but, you know what we got to do. We know we got work to do. And, you know, we feel very honored and blessed to be able to be here in this day and time to be able to continue to work and do, you know, if necessary, to bring about some real kinds of freedom, you know. So,
exactly.
Let's give it on, as we say, and let's do what we know we must. Moving right along, we're going to get ready to go to our open mic again. And certainly, you know, that last interview was definitely inspiring. And we know that the one that we're getting ready to have is also very inspiring. Before we bring on our brother Dice Raw, I'd like for you, Brother Yassim, to tell our family listening on this a little bit about the brother, because we're going to get ready to bring him on. But for those who might not be familiar with his work, I'm going to tell you, before you begin that, I just want to let people know that when I begin to review, especially what he's getting ready to release next month, Jimmy's back.
Jimmy's back.
And at first I didn't really, you know, realize what that was about until I began to read further, and then I realized, I was like, oh, wow, this is so on point, because we've been talking about schools closing and so forth and so on, and understanding the big picture of what the system has in store for our people, particularly for our youth, because in closing these schools, oh, I meant to ask Old Jimmy, because in Detroit, I mean, their whole school system is now under some emergency management system. You know, Detroit is going through a real serious crisis all across the board. But again, they're in an emergency state when it comes to so-called education, or what we know as miseducation. But also here in Philadelphia, 28 schools will not be reopening in September, 50 schools in Chicago. What does that mean? Well,
and
these people
threatening Howard University, too. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But see, the thing about these public schools is this is going to be, you've heard of the prison pipeline?
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
yep.
We are seeing
it
unfold as we speak. Whenever you close 28 schools in one city, 50 schools in another, and then shut down a whole school system in another city, where do you think these where do you think these children are going to end up? If you're in a crowded school system and so forth and so on, they're already getting a half behind education as it is. Oh, I keep saying education. It definitely is not that. Indoctrination would be better. But nevertheless, we know the plan really is to label them either out of control and or having some kind of psychological problem so they can be drugged. Hence, what is this going to do to the overall behavior? Ultimately, it will have them adjudicated.
Yep.
Therefore, with our brother coming on, talking about Jimmy's back, the new Jim Crow,
that's
incarceration.
Brother
Dice
Raw.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Brother Dice Raw before we bring him on and get this live line hot, hotter, hotter, and hotter.
Well, not only is Dice Raw performed with the legendary and still active group The Roots, and blazed the microphone with The Roots, and when we're speaking about consciousness, we're speaking about percussion, we're speaking about one of the first, as I consider, live bands blended with hip-hop that just push straight through the struggle, you know, with Yes Love, with the Afro, and bang straight through everything that's going on in the music industry. I mean, these guys have been around maybe three generations of seeing how the past, the present, and the middle has escalated, downslided, and came back up. But what really caught my eye is he was working on an individual project. And when I saw Jimmy's back, I was wondering as well. Jimmy's back. What's Jimmy's back about?
Right.
And I heard
right.
a little clipping of it. And I'm like, hold up. No, I say no. He didn't go there. I've got to get in touch with this brother ASAP. Because anything that catches my eye, I call it that middle of the street hip hop. I'm not a conscious rapper. I'm not off that. All of those categories, I call it right in the middle of the street, because you can get it however you want to get it, and the truth never lies. And that it spoke to me ASAP. Got in contact with him, and now I just want him to go ahead and spread the news on what's going on, because I told him I have to do my due diligence, not as only as an artist, but as an individual that's fighting for the truth and for the safety and for the livelihoods of our future and our present, do all I can to help promote his project as well. So, is Brother Dice Raw, if you're in there, please plug on in now.
Okay, well, we're going to bring Brother in 1 minute, Brother. My board is kind of stalling on me, so what I'm going to do is, I was trying to bring something up real quick. There's a promo that I had the opportunity to hear earlier. And before we bring our brother up, I want to maybe share that with our family. Hopefully we can pull it up real quick. And then we're going to bring the brother in live and put him on that live mic. So let's see if we can do this. Having a little technical difficulty, family, so bear with us. We're trying to cue up something that we really wanted to share with you tonight as we prepare to bring our brother on. So let's try it one more time. Okay, I think it's coming up now. Okay, you all know how technology can be, so just hang in there with us. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty, but it's trying to... this was the promo, I believe, for the upcoming release. Okay, for whatever reason, it doesn't want to come up, so we're going to have to hold on that. Maybe it'll come up a little later on. Nope, it's not letting us access it. Okay, well, this is what we'll do. We're going to go on to our live mic. I think the brother's waiting for us now. Hopefully we can revisit that, and if it does pop up, we'll bring it in, because it was something very interesting that I wanted you all to hear. But anyway, let's go on to our live mic, and I believe we have our brother here. We're going to open up this mic, and hopefully we have Dice Raw joining us right about now. My brother, are you here with us?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
All right. Good, thanks. Very good. Very good. Welcome to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm very honored to be here. Appreciate you having me on to talk about the new album that I'm working on. So I'm definitely happy to be here.
That's right.
All right.
Well, we're glad that you're here, brother.
Absolutely. And, of course, you've heard some of what we were talking about earlier, and I'm just going to say this one thing, and then we're just going to go with this. Family, you know, feel free as we get into the dialogue, if you would like to communicate with us. I'm going to give you a time very shortly where you can push one and join in. We're going to open up the chat room also in about 5 minutes, so if you have any questions or whatever that you'd like to place there, feel free to do so as well. We're talking with Dice Raw, of course, and we're also talking about not only a project that he's working on and will be releasing very, very shortly, but let's get into why. Dice Raw, why? Why Wake Up?
Well, the why the song Wake Up?
Well, yeah, the why the song Wake Up and why should our people
okay,
be waking up?
Well, yeah, I just didn't know if you were, if you knew, if you had any of the song titles from the album that I'm about to drop, because one
yeah,
of the songs
I
is actually
did.
Called Wake Up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
okay, yeah, awesome. Well, yeah, basically, I mean, you know, it's a very big problem, you know. Like, I can't even think of anything
mm-hmm.
that's more important right now as far as the rate that our children are being locked up and, you know, basically jail being the only option for our kids. There's 2.5 million people behind bars right now. 60% of them are black. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crazy, you know, and I don't really see it getting any better because it's kind of being ignored, not by just white America, but by black America, too. And, you know, so I feel like there's something, somebody should do something. So that's what I'm doing. I was so inspired by Dr. Michelle's book, The New Jim Crow. And like I was telling the brothers last week when I spoke to them, like, you know, I didn't even read the book when it was given to me. And it was
mm-hmm.
stressed to me. You know, the person that gave me the book, Tyve Smith, he was like, yo, please read this book. Please read this book. Please read this book. And I didn't read the book. And when I finally started getting into it, and I actually bought the audio book, and I started listening to what was going on, I felt ashamed that I didn't read the book. And that, you know, but I also had a realization that, you know what, a lot of people aren't going to read the book because, you know what, reading has been, you know, at least to, lately, has been something that's been made a chore. It hasn't been made like a luxury or something that's going to learn or something that's going to teach you anything. They're not interested, you know. So I said, you know what,
mm-hmm.
let me make my interpretation of this book musically and maybe people
mm-hmm.
will listen to that. In which case, you know, I can just help out a little bit for what Dr. Michelle is trying to spread the word for. And even before her, Angela Davis, I mean, this problem's really been going on for a long time. And I think that these women that saw this coming ahead of time should be, you know, championed and it should be, like, light should be shed on it, basically. So, you know, and I'm just
mm-hmm,
trying to do my
mm-hmm.
part.
How long did it take you to put it together, bro?
Well, like I was telling you, I was actually working on the record for about 2 years, and I stopped working on it for maybe about 8 months ago. I just kind of stopped working on it, and I started working on other projects and doing things that just kind of took my attention away from it. And then I was in church, and I heard Bishop Dal Robertson, who's a very powerful pastor here in Philadelphia, has a lot of influence. He was just talking about mass incarceration. He was dropping facts in church, and when I was hearing it, it just was moving me so much that I was like, yo, I have to go back in on this record immediately and finish it. I actually got him involved on it, and I had him speak on the record, and then, you know, I just had to get it done. So, I mean, basically roughly 2 years to finish the record.
Okay. Now, tell me what church that was, because I'm in Philly. I'm from Philly, and I want to know what church in Philly is talking about something real, especially dealing with mass incarceration. What church was that?
Oh, that's Bishop Dal Robertson's church. I actually know the name of it, but I know it's on 23rd and Snyder. So, you know, whenever you're in the hood, you know, 23rd and Snyder Avenue is right on the corner. There's two big, brand-new buildings.
Right.
I believe it's called YASA. Yeah, it's called Yasa something, you know. But it's Bishop Dal Robertson's church, you know. It's off of 23rd and
Castle. It thanks because you know so many of the churches that I've seen over these past few years have become, you know, so like voiceless almost when it comes to issues. And you know, again, our tradition has been that the black church was a very strong influence on movement, on you know, making the difference and so forth. But over the last years, especially after becoming kind of connected to the nonprofit monies that are available, many of our churches no longer speak out. So again, I'm really glad to hear that there's, you know, an entity that's talking about some real issues.
He came from the streets, though. He grew up in Johnson Homes Projects. I mean, you know, he's no joke, you know what I mean? So he's definitely a person who's walked on both sides. and understands both sides. So, you know, that's why he had, that's why he expresses those things. He doesn't try to hide it or fake his past or anything like that, you know, so.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. All right. Is there a particular reason why you selected August to release
it? Well,
August
4th basically is Barack Obama's birthday. And, you know, with Barack Obama being in office, you know, I have a lot of tremendous amount of respect for him. And but I feel like some things have been going under the radar. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and with him, you know, like a few weeks ago, he took away the vote for felons. Of 1.4 million black males and females don't no longer have the right to vote. So, you know, this, me releasing this record on his birthday is just like, you know, hello, Mr. President. Just, you know, we still got your back out here, but you need to have our back in there at some point. You know what I mean? And like, you know, the funding and the community opportunities that he's brought along, all those things are great, you know, healthcare stuff, but at the same time, you know, the lack of education in the black community is really the start of the problem, like you were saying about the schools closing, so we got to address that. And if we don't address it ourselves, then, well, I mean, why should anybody else, you know? So.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely.
Straight fire.
And on that note, you do know that President Obama made a very clear statement that he is against African reparations. Just for the record.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, indeed. He literally said that. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's like, wow.
Yeah, at a future date, I'll literally, you know, give you a reference where you could go look it up. But, yeah, he actually said that. And so the question has been, you know, exactly what, you know, is it that he is doing, planning to do, or whatever, as it pertains to people of African descent in the United States, given the circumstances that we have a situation like none other, but yet he has spoken out for other groups of peoples, both here in the United States as well as abroad, but yet specifically the people of African descent in North America, particularly in the United States. He has made no real clear, anything.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's very surprising. Even though I totally understand why, because, you know, the flip side to this coin, the devil's advocate argument, which I totally get, is if these people weren't in jail, what would they be doing right now? And, like, one of my friends told me earlier, who's actually a lifetime criminal, who's never really been arrested, you know, so... For him, he thinks it's like an intelligence game, you know, and it's just the arrogance and stuff like that that I think that is kind of the problem with even some of these criminals and some of these people who are like, yo, well, these people are just no good, and they're just no good people, so we might as well just lock them up. But, you know, I just don't feel that way. And even, like, my friend who is the criminal, like his perspective on it today, he says, yo, I do nothing but crime. He said, I never get locked up. I never get arrested. He said, why do you think that is? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, you're just lucky. He said, well, you know, he said, at the same time, he's like, the amount of crime that I do is a lot of crime. He said, but at the same point, how much crime are these other people doing to where as though they are getting arrested? So that's the devil's advocate. It's like, you know, even somebody that's a criminal is looking at these other people like, yo, they're dumber than I am. And I think that's a big problem. And I think the other problem is, It just basically comes down to the fear of a black man doing a crime is more prevalent than the actual crimes. And then I know that, you know, poor people do commit a lot of crimes, because when we're on the bottom of the totem pole and you're kind of pushed against the wall and you're feeling like you're being squeezed, you really feel like there's no other option. And I think that's just basically the bottom line. But as, you know, black America, like well-off black Americans and white Americans, their fear of poor black Americans or poor African Americans doing crime is greater than the crimes that are actually being committed. And that is a problem. And when you even look at Trayvon, like, you know, not to even throw him into this mass incarceration argument, but the fear of Trayvon doing a crime is actually why he's dead. Not that he actually did the crime, but the fear that he was going to do a crime. And that is the thing that we just really need to address. Like, yo, okay, why are well-off blacks and rich white people so afraid of crimes that are not being committed, and that is the real issue. So,
well, let me ask you, though, what do you think about the fact that on the news now they're tailriding how many blacks have been killing blacks, but evading the issue? Do you think it'll still be the same if the same scenario on how many blacks are killing blacks and have been killing blacks in the black neighborhoods if they were integrated with whites?
Yeah, but, you know, see, that's my whole thing. Like, see, that's the whole thing behind the Jim Crow. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a real good point. But it's like the Jim Crow law was first, you know, it was started in the 1800s. It was supposed to be some kind of separate but equal law. And then we had to prove that it wasn't equal. It was still a problem with that. And, you know, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
just with that, it's like, I kind of got lost a little bit. So, I mean, basically,
okay.
the bottom line is, with the whole thing that happened with Trayvon and the fear of blacks committing these crimes, it being the biggest issue, the main issue is, like, we are still looked at as this criminal and this underclass in society. And not only do are we looked at it that way, we kind of look at ourselves that way. And that's a problem, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like,
doubt.
You know, like the brother said before, we're the only people that still address ourselves as a color. Even though I consider myself black, and I can't think of a better word, but at the same time, that is interesting. Like, I just never hear a white person like, I'm the kind of white person where I do this thing. But, like you know white people. Like, you know, they just don't say that kind of thing. And even though I know that our people, we're very connected to each other emotionally and psychologically, I mean, we're very in tune, connected people, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that has a lot to do with it, but at the same time, it can be confusing, you know, and I don't have the answers, and I don't want to come off to try to sound like I'm some kind of authority, because I'm not.
Oh, no, not at all, brother. When we have dialogue here at New Day, I mean, it's all good, you know, we're all sharing information, we're sharing our thoughts, and that's what African people do, that's what black people do, whatever we're going to call ourselves, that's what we do, you know, so it's all good, and we certainly appreciate, you know, your view and the information and your thoughts that you're sharing with us.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, too. So, okay, I've kind of found my way back to what we were saying. So the whole thing about black-on-black crime. I mean, black-on-black crime really doesn't even exist. What exists is people who do violent crimes usually kill somebody they have a problem with. It's very random that someone goes and kills someone that they don't know. Like, most white crimes, most white murders are committed on white people. Like, if there was a bunch of white people going out to kill blacks all the time or a bunch of blacks going out to kill whites, trust me, we would know, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, with the black-on-black crime, I think that why it's so prevalent to us is because we used to have such a love for each other, and that love has gone. And I don't know what happened. Like, you know, black people, we used to have cool handshakes and slaps, and we used to do butt bumps, and we used to dance, and we had beautiful hair, and we would pick our hair, and we had locks. And now it's kind of like we've only got one narrative, where it's this, you know, there's sunglasses, you know, bunch of jewelry, even fake jewelry. I mean, it's just a whole fake nonsense in a made-up world that we kind of like, we've kind of like adopted a lot of these principles that we never even used to even bother with, because we set all the trends in America. We set rock and roll. We did punk music. We did soul music. We did jazz music. We did fashion. It was us. And now we gotten to a point where though we're kind of complacent, like we're kind of like happy where we're at, because you know we have Jay-Z or Puff Daddy or Birdman, but those are a handful of people who can't define 25 million others. And I think that is the real problem, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, it's funny because I was watching Newt Gingrich the other day, and he said, you know what, you black people are so mad about, you know, some half Jewish, half Latino shooting a black person when you guys kill each other all the time. And you know what? I'm actually more upset with that than Zimmerman shooting Trayvon. It's like, you know what, I expect the other side not to love. But I mean, I expect more from my brothers and I expect more from my sisters. And that is, I think that's the thing that we've kind of gotten away from. It's like, yo, that is the problem. It's like, and the more people try to ignore that stuff and say, well, that's not the real issue. No, that is the real issue. Because, you know, if we had more unity, then other people wouldn't mess with it wouldn't even be a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, this would have never happened in the first place because they already knew. Like, yo, if you do anything to these blacks, you know, they're going to come down on you. And every race in America kind of had to fight for that same kind of respect. And, you know, I think we fought, and then we got what we wanted, and then we relaxed. But you know what? Now it's time to fight again. Mm-hmm. We got to keep fighting until – we just got to keep fighting, basically, and you know, until
Absolutely.
We feel like we got what we want.
Absolutely. My tech just told me that we do have that piece that I wanted to share with everyone. So, my brother, I want you to stay right there. And
yes,
we want to share this with our family. Okay, we have that promo that we were trying to come up with. And
yeah,
we're going to bring that. Yeah, we got that for you. So, let's see. I think we're going to have that in a minute. Do we have that coming up? Okay, we got it. It's queuing up. Oh, come on. Okay. As soon as we thought we had it, we don't. So they're still working on it, family. We have our boards, and for some reason we're having some technical problems. But again, what we want to tell you is that the chat room is open, so please feel free to go there and start your postings. We would like to hear from you. We're still trying. Oh, here we go. We got it. Okay, for some reason, they just don't want us to play your promo tonight, guys. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go, try one more time. Got a gist of what we were trying to, the message we were trying to convey as to why, you know, it's so important to support this project. And as you just heard, family, I mean, it just that little bit in itself hit on some very powerful areas and things that we need to be a bit more proactive about. So, brother, with that said, were there any other persons or any other artists, shall I say, that assisted in this collaboration?
Oh, yeah, yes, ma'am, definitely. Basically, all the features that I had on the record are young brothers who did 8 to 10 years in jail who are under the age of 35. So basically, when I first was conceptualizing the record, I had them all come down to the studio, and they brought some of their friends, and I was just playing it for them and playing them some of the audio book. And they just were, you know, it made them sad. And these aren't the kind of brothers that get sad, you know what I'm saying? These are the kind of brothers that,
right,
frustrated and get angry and bad things happen to other people, you know what I mean? And they were so, they were changed. I mean, it really changed them. You know what I'm saying? Just from hearing it, because, you know, you got to think about it. When you keep getting locked up and keep getting arrested, you start to think that you are stupid, or you're not, you are an animal that's being hunted, and, you know, your whole perception of life is kind of just changing, and without having a conversation or with a, like you said earlier, open dialogue about these things, you're kind of just caught up in it. And, you know, when they started thinking about, yo, we're really being under, we're under surveillance 24 hours. Like, yo, how can we not get caught every day? You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, when they started to realize, they started hearing the facts, they was like, you know what, we're not as dumb as we thought we was. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, this is a problem. We're being hunted.
Wow.
And, the realization when they came into it, I mean, you know, it was heart-wrenching, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it makes you sad because you see these brothers like that, you know, who knows what kind of lives they could have had if given a different opportunity or even just given a different idea. It's like, forget the opportunity. You know, just a different idea could just be introduced to them. And, you know, if they automatically change, just instant change. You know what I mean? And it's like, damn, like, it's sad because, you know, it's just like, the opportunity, there is no opportunity. They're trying to make their own opportunity. But just with, you know, just a different narrative being introduced to them at just one time, instant change. So, you know, I started adding up the years of prison that they did. I said, you know, how many years did everybody do in the room? I just did a head count, you know, sir. And, you know, it was 100 years of prison between them.
Wow.
The youngest person was 26 years old. He did 7 years in jail. He's 26 years old. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah, so everybody's featured on that. I'm sorry.
No, brother, I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish what you were saying, please.
Oh, no, I'm just saying everybody that was featured on the album, Muwada, who was Prada Ada, K-Dot, Superstar Ye, Mars, DNA, they all did more than 8 years in jail. A piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Wow. Okay, what we want to do is hopefully we can pull this off. We wanted to kind of do a sample from Wake Up, which is the one I like, and then we're going to go to our live line and hear what some of our callers want to say. But this is Wake Up.
They gave Ali Moore the fucking TV show and Bush won the presidency.
Okay. And
oh, yeah.
That's kind of put it to you straight and raw. All right, brother. Well, you know, as you can tell, family, here at New Day, we just bring it the way it is. You know, we're not trying to whitewash anything here, and certainly that is how we've been for the past going on 6 years now. This is how long we've been doing our radio program, and I dare say I think we're doing a very good job. And, wow, I appreciate it, Wake Up, my brother. I'm hoping that it woke up some folk. In fact, most around this, they already awoke. That's why they're on here anyway, so it's all good. But we encourage all of you to share that. You know, we're encouraging our family to please share that, because, you know, some people need it just like that. You know, you can't sometimes just say people, you can't just say, well, you know, look, we really need to just come together and maybe, I mean, that works for some people, but some people need another kind of shaking. So if you know someone that needs that, we got it for them. Brother Dice Rob, tell us a little more about Wake Up, because that's what I like.
Well, I mean, basically, just what you said, you know, it's just a raw, hardcore, you know, inside the mind of me, basically describing what I think is going on and how urgent I think waking up is, which is why I just wanted to keep the message simple. Wake up, niggas, or we all through. You know, it's just real quick. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of these brothers are asleep, and a lot of these sisters are asleep too. More brothers, though, mm-hmm. than the sisters. You know what I'm saying? You know, which is why I just got down with an organization called WAM, Women Against Mass Incarceration, too, because, you know, I think that's one thing I want to start from, too. Like, when these sisters start taking action, start telling these brothers, like, yo, y'all not doing right, and, yo, we not putting up with it no more. Like, we getting sick of this, you know what I mean? So I think that's going to be a big solution to a massive problem. And, you know, wake up is just that call to wake up. You know, and even myself, it's like I feel like I was woken up, you know, and even though I've always done conscious music and I've never done anything with a negative undertone to it, at the same time, I still feel like I got to do more, you know what I'm saying?
Well, brother, so, I can tell you.
Everybody else I'm waking up to.
I know that's right. And I can tell you, I don't know if Brother Yassim gave you a little history about us here, but the Million Women March and Alice Movement is the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever, and now the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. So I can assure you that as mothers, daughters, sisters, wives, we are stepping up our game and making certain that our voices are heard, and heard in many, many ways now. You know, I went to a meeting earlier today, as a matter of fact, with some sisters here in Philly. Sister Pam Africa was there. Sister Basimu Bey, who is the fourth assistant vice president of the UNIA. So, you know, I can assure you that women of African descent are coming together. We're going to demonstrate that even further on October 25th when we observe the 16th year anniversary of the Million Women March, and at that time bring forward, we will unveil our movement initiatives, and we're inviting our brothers to join us on the 25th, because we're going to be in front of the Justice Department, and we're going to give them something that they haven't seen in a long time, and that is we're going to be saying we charge genocide.
Yeah, I'm with it. Let's go. I'll be
here. That's right. That's right.
I know that's right. All right, family. What we're going to do now is open up the live line for you all. So if you have a question or a comment for our brother tonight, or you just want to share some pertinent, relevant information, we certainly welcome you to do so. You can push one now and let me know that you want to get on the mic, and we're going to go first to caller. You're at 6351. You have something you'd like to share with us tonight. 6251. 6251.
Okay.
sound like somebody was trying to come on, but maybe not. Okay, let's go. Okay, I'm sorry. Are you trying to get in? Are you at 6251? Okay, maybe not. Let's go to another caller. Okay, caller, you're at 2603. Your mic is now getting ready to open. You got it. Go ahead. 6203.
Hello?
Okay, hey, you know what? Okay, there you are.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you,
6203. Hello, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right, well, you're live. We got Dice Raw on the line, and how you have a question for the brother?
Oh, yeah, yeah. How you doing, Dice?
I'm good. I'm good. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, pretty good. Pretty good, man. From what I understand, your album or your project is already wrapped up, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's coming out August 4th. We're done.
Okay, August 4th. Okay, now since after, you know, a lot of artists, something tragic happens or something goes on, and most artists puts a drawback or whatever, holds the reins on a project and say, well, maybe I want to go in and do this. Has the verdict made you want to change anything up or?
No, or not really, because like the brother said earlier, like, that verdict wasn't a shock to me. It's like, if you look on my Twitter page or my Instagram at The Real Dice Raw or at Dice Raw, when I posted the artwork for Wake Up, I said Zimmerman not guilty. And this was 2 days before the verdict actually came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, that wasn't a surprise to me. And like I said earlier, the bigger problem, it's like, forget Zimmerman. I'm over that. The thing I'm not over is brothers killing brothers in the street left and right over disrespect or stepping on their sneakers or talking to their girlfriend. That's the thing I got a problem with.
Yeah. That's a two-way deal. I mean, I was explaining to some of my coworkers earlier. Actually, I've been telling them all week. Only reason why this is the Martin thing is such a big deal, you know what I mean? Because they had to publicize what was going on. They had to show justification that they were actually trying to do something. I mean, if they didn't, the world probably would have went crazier a little bit earlier. Everything is cool as long as blacks killing blacks, whites killing whites. You know, as long as you got your own race blood in your hand, it's cool to the world. They don't care. It's just when you mix blood. Whites can't kill blacks, and either way, you know, that's when everything gets out of hand. I was kind of wondering that. I mean, because I'm sure this is taking a lot of artists and producers and all kind of people back to the drawing board. I mean, which, like you said, there's really no need to be shocked about the whole situation. That was a given. I mean, but...
Yeah, and then these people are going to be back to drinking champagne in a week and a half. You know what I mean? So it's like for those people who are going back into the studios to make projects that are changing, that maybe they change their persona and they change their narrative, that's one thing. Because the negative narrative and the persona that all these rappers share is a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because you keep hitting these people with the same thing over and over and over and over again, they start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we make records all day long, you know, shooting each other on record, disrespecting our women on record, and then we expect another race to have respect for us? That don't make any sense.
That's right. That's
wow.
Right.
It just don't make any sense. It was like Zimmerman or any person of another race that wants to kill a black person because of hate or jealousy or you know, whatever the start their racism off, it don't even matter. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem is us. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We got to change this narrative. We got to change the way we think about us. We got to change the way we deal with each other. You know? We got too much hate in our hearts. I mean, basically, you listen to a Jay-Z album or any rapper who's got that negative narrative, they basically say on the record, yo, you ain't shit. Everybody, anybody that's listening to it, nigga, you ain't shit. I'll take your girl. I'll do this to you. I'll beat you up. I'll shoot you in the face. You ain't nothing. You're nothing. And then we listen to it over and over and over again, repeating it. And this is an image that we're looking up to. So it's not even the image that we're looking at, like, yo, they're dissing us. It's like, no, this is us. This is us.
Mm.
All
right.
And that's what we listen to. So maybe they should go back in the studio. I mean, some of these rappers should never go back in the studio.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Well, we get ready to give them a crude awakening very soon, because one of the things that the MWM movement is in the process of doing, and that is formulating a national boycott. You know, we know that sisters, you know, often hold a lot of purse strings, and one of them definitely is the money that's being matriculated to buy some of these CDs. So with that said, we are about to identify the 10 worst, the 10 most exploited so-called artists, and by October we will be announcing who we get ready to hit, both in not buying their CDs, also their tickets, also any merchandise that they're connected to, and the sponsors that's pushing them, we're going to boycott them too.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I don't necessarily know if that's the solution, but if that's what you guys are going to do, you know, you guys got my support. But at the same time, I think the thing that we really need to focus on is the people that's behind it, because it's like the people that are driving these, like Nino Brown said, we sell the crack, but who's bringing the shipments of cocaine in? Who benefits from this agenda the most? Who benefits from us bickering or arguing with each other and not coming up with a solution the most? It's not us.
Right.
So, you know,
said exactly what I said in terms of not only the artists, not only the labels, but also the sponsors. So we're going to hit them all across the board. But see, no one is exempt.
Here's the thing, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but here's the thing with that. It's like the sponsorships have already been taken. You know, there's only a handful of artists who even have that kind of influence. A handful of, I hate for lack of a better word, black artists, like the brother was saying earlier. You know, we're the only ones that even define ourselves as black artists or any kind of particular color artist. Like, that's crazy. But anyway, back to the point I'm trying to make. Is the sponsorships have already been taken, and they're getting more and more scarce as the days go on. So there's nothing left to take. Now, what I think does need to happen is the sisters do need to hold these brothers accountable by talking to them personally. You know what I'm saying? Inviting these rappers down to a forum and talking to them, extending an invitation to them to actually give them their day in court. Now, if they don't show up to defend what they're saying or to try to come up with a solution, then I say you hit them full blast, because you already extended your hand in friendship to these artists to try to come up with a solution, because it could benefit us. You know, if we're all friends and we're not on the negative playing field, I think we could get further that way. You know, I think that's where C. Delores Tucker kind of missed, you know, with Tupac and Snoop in the early 90s when she could have been on the same team as Snoop Dogg and Tupac, and I think we could have got more done.
Right. And, brother, don't get me wrong, I definitely agree in terms of giving people the opportunity. And let me just state for the record, been there, done that, meaning we have extended the olive branch on many occasions. For example, a few years back when the R. Kelly fiasco came about, even then, you know, we were attempting to have dialogue or attempting to do certain things. This is not something that we just came up with last week or last year. This is something that has been going on for the past few years, and we have went to several artists. We've been working with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. for a couple of years now, but also going back to Dr. Tucker, we always make it very clear as sisters in this day and age that, number one, we're not looking for a job. We're not looking to be on the board of nobody's corporation, none of that. You can't buy us. You can't offer us anything. And I'm saying that we have already made statements, if not me personally, other sisters, in this past 10 years, requesting, asking, pleading, yo, give us a break. Stop putting us up in these videos. And you know the responses that we've gotten from some of these people? Oh, well, the sisters, that's what they want. They want to jump around in the video and show their booty, and they want to do this. They're making money. I'm saying to you, brother, that We do plan to hold some hip-hop symposiums that we're going to conduct as women. Brother Yassim can confer that we're asking our brothers to participate. But for real, we already know what the bottom line is. We already know that if we as women do not stand up and say, this is our response to all of you, anybody that's involved, we ain't taking no prisoners.
Well, I say go get them then.
But thank
you. At any point, though, the one thing I can say in some of these rappers' defenses is that, you know, it's like when you have a meeting in Hollywood and a black director who has a great idea, he comes in there and he says, yo, this is my idea. And he says, well, when we look at the statistics of black films, it seems like your people, they only want to see, where are we there yet? And that's no disrespect to Ice Cube because I loved Are We There Yet. But at the same point,
right,
it's like in a public forum, in music, in television, in film, they only accept one narrative from us. And this is
right,
the thing that we have to address first. And I think that starts with even educating people, because some of these artists, they just don't know any better. They just don't
right,
know. They do
right,
need to be bored and they do need to be held accountable, because, you know, there comes a certain responsibility with speaking publicly, like the brother said earlier. He said, yo, if you're going to come out publicly and say anything, then you need to have some kind of responsibility to what you're saying. And if you don't, then that shows a lot of irresponsibility and recklessness
right,
and not caring about what else is going on. And if you are that kind of person, then you shouldn't have the podium that you have. Speak.
And also one of the things that the brothers said as well is that people don't know. And, again, I do agree with that, my brother, but I will also say that this is 2013, and, you know, sometimes people don't know because they don't want to know, not because the information is not there, but because it's a little easier to turn away. And what we're saying is that, you know, the Honorable Mark Garth said, I'll see you in the whirlwind. Okay, this was said, 100 years ago? Well, not quite, but, maybe. So the bottom line is we keep starting at a place in certain things as if certain things didn't already happen. And I'm saying we can't keep doing that. The reason why we're talking about the Trayvon Martin today is because we forgot that Emmett Till happened, or if not forgot, we kind of put it to the side. And then let's also keep in mind that shortly after when Trayvon Martin was killed, another young brother was killed 2 weeks later, also in Florida, for playing his music too loud in the car. So now, what are we saying? We're saying that we had these poverty pimps running around from country to country, whatever kind of crisis thing that they can, you know, get a good photo co-op up on, they're going to run there like Genesis. But the bottom line is we keep letting these people do this. And I'm saying, for those who want to talk about it, fine. We support you. We'll do whatever we can to assist you. But some of us have heard this stuff before, and now we're saying we're going to save our daughters. We're going to make a statement to these young sisters, because there hasn't been a black women's entity of any caliber that said, hey, we love y'all. We love all of our people. But we're not going to stand up and keep letting the image of our women be portrayed in that kind of way. We're not going to allow it anymore. Our daughters need to see us saying something and doing something. Our sons need to see it too. So here we are in the 21st century when all this stuff has been done, even from, you remember Hottentot Venus, Sarah Barton?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And see, that's the problem I have with just the image of big booties in the videos, because these people don't know where this stuff comes from, but somebody has to educate them. Well,
we
would be
do
able
that.
To set an objectified in that
You're
manner.
Do that.
All right, let's go. You got my support. Since you're here in Philly, I hope that we can meet up, you know, sooner than later.
Oh, it'll be sooner, my brother. We got you now. We always tell people once we connect with you, oh, we family then. But what we're going to do is, brother, that when you called in, where was you calling from? Brother from 6203, I just want to know where were you calling from?
I was calling in from Kansas.
All right, good, thanks. Well, thank you for calling in, brother, and thank you for your comment. We're going to go to another caller.
You.
I'm sorry, brother. Finish that up, please.
Oh, that was just saying, be safe.
Say again?
No, he was saying thank you for having me. No problem, my brother.
Oh, good, thanks. Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're at 176. We're going to bring you in. I think I know that number. That looks like Brother Jamie.
That's your, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I thought that was you. All right, brothers. Greetings to you this evening.
Oh, greetings, Sister Filet. Brother Yashem.
Yes, my hotel.
Hotel Brother Dice Raw.
Yo, bro.
How you doing, man? Oh, man. Just thanking God for waking me up this morning. Closing my To be totally honest, man, my body was affected by Trayvon Martin's verdict, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I already knew it was coming, and I stayed away from the media intentionally, and still, my body, oh, man, my soul, my spirit, I'm not resting. You know, Emmett Till is history, and, brother, it's too much, man, too much. So coming to break you off, whole new meaning. You know what I mean? But
put some coffee on for me.
Say that again. So I got a comment and a question. And the comment is,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we don't never hear, or at least I haven't, is we don't hear about white-on-white crime. When they talk about
mm-hmm.
crime in terms of the media or the public in general, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say white-on-white crime. Why are we talking about black-on-black crime? You know, Marvin Gaye taught us a long time ago, there's hatred born in poverty, and it don't matter what culture you are, it's going to
mm-hmm.
create that type of environment. It's paramount to that type of environment. My question is, did you hear, Brother... the brother on, what's his name? I'm so passionate right now. The elder that was on, he was on the awards, and after he spoke, man, Jamie Foxx, nobody could say what they originally was going to say. What's the brother's name? Harry Belafonte.
Harry Belafonte was actually the first artist to ever go platinum as well as
mm-hmm.
being an activist. And, you know, and he was accepted in a lot of different circles. And you know, he saw it firsthand and never sold out. You know what I mean? So I got nothing but respect for him. He's a very powerful brother,
mm-hmm.
nothing but love.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother's, you know, serious about our freedom. But what he spoke about, the incarceration rate and our responsibility as mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, is to change this system of incarceration. And I work with a different groups of black men in Minnesota, man, for the last 20 years. And one of the groups I worked with was Christians and Muslims and just brothers and ex-criminals who we had a volunteer security group called SALAM, Sincere and Loyal African American Men. And one day we approached some brothers in the streets selling drugs. And, man, we was so passionate and loving and just kind of, you know, trying to encourage these brothers to do something different and stop killing our people. One of the brothers stopped us. He said, look, brother, hold up. Let's cut to the chase. Which, if I stop selling drugs right now, which I will, if one of y'all could give me a job.
Mm.
Brother, you know what? We had to put our guns in the holster. Not that we had any. I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically, put our guns in our holster and regroup. From that point, brother, I went and started my own business, which I have for over 20 years, and formed it around a rites of passage. So my question to you is, in terms of Harry Belafonte's comment about the prison and our responsibility to change this system, you know, how do you feel about that? And is there anything that, you know, brothers from just grassroots can do to, you know, participate
you know, where you at with that?
I mean, basically, I think that is it. You know what I'm saying? What you just said, like by creating a security team, something like that, where people will feel secure in an area where you can open up a dialogue. Because sometimes I feel like our people get so passionate that and we're so confused and so frustrated at some point that it could also lead to something bad happening or a misunderstanding. Or, you know what I'm saying, which could escalate. But like you said, just going out and talking to people and creating something where as though people can just be black. Like, if you Muslim, mm-hmm. praise Allah, that's mm-hmm. fine. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Christian, that's fine. If you're a black mm-hmm. Catholic, if you're a black Jew, if you're a black Hindu, it don't even matter. As long as you're black, come on in. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you what's going on. Because, I mean, that is the only way. Like, here in Philly, like, recently, I just been going up to police officers. Like, any cop I see that, you know, just stand on the corner, white or black, I go up to them and I just talk to them for a second and ask them about mass incarceration and how they feel about it. And one of the cops, mm. you know, he's joined my team, Officer Mike, here in Philadelphia. Him and his wife, Linda, they like, yo, you know what? We think mass incarceration is a problem. Because I told him, I'm like, you know what, Officer Mike, you know, when a cop get behind me, I automatically feel like I'm at war now. Now I'm on the front line, too. And you're not a person anymore, mm. and I'm not a person anymore. And the funny thing is, the war on drugs, which is why this whole mass incarceration thing has been set in motion, has been set into motion by somebody else. When a black cop, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, we couldn't even be cops. And now all of a sudden, right. we got all the black cops. For what reason? To fight this war. And they're getting right. shot at. These cops are getting shot at, and these brothers are getting killed, too, by some of these cops. And you know what? Somebody's sitting back, and it's going right according to plan.
Yes, sir. Mm. Well, I mean, President Bush's father put this in place a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I definitely know that. That's just like on the song Wake Up that we just played, where it basically explains, you know, you got to think about the amount of cocaine that was given to the brother Rick Ross, the real Rick Ross, not the fake rapper who's exploiting a lifestyle that he knows nothing about, but the actual person
right.
who went through this, who actually lived this life, and, you know, not that it was positive and not that I condone
right.
it, but this. But
right.
actually, Rick Ross, you know, that cocaine did contribute to a bunch of mass fortunes for black Americans, the sad part. That is the sad
yeah.
part and the sad reality to those drugs. But the thing is, there was tons of cocaine given to this man, hand-delivered by another man who did not spend one day in jail.
Yes, sir.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Think about that. Mm. He didn't spend one day in jail. The CIA operative that was working directly under Ali North and George Bush did not spend one day in jail. And meanwhile, we got 1.4 million brothers and sisters who don't even have the right to vote anymore based off of these drug laws. And another 2 million in jail.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think what you're doing is great. And any way I can help, you can hit me up at Twitter, @DiceRaw. You know, I'll come out, you know, wherever I need to come. You said you're in Michigan. You know, we'll come wherever we got to go, bro.
Right now, I'm Spokane, Washington, but I'm still on the
Spokane, man. Washington. You're probably the only brother out there.
Man. I got hit on, I got a thing on my email on trying to get the roots up here, and it's only two people. You know, like, you know, you got that thing to ask you how many people request Roots to come to Spokane, Washington. I'm like, wow. Okay.
I've actually performed in Spokane years and years and years ago.
I hope y'all come back up here where I'm here. I only been here 3 years. But again, I'm on the Million Man March Committee in Minnesota. And not a whole lot of people know that the brothers in Minnesota have been meeting. It'll be the 18th anniversary. And we met a year before that, you know. And the brothers are positive, man. And it's brothers just loving each other and teaching each other. And one of the things that, brother, I will take to my grave is listening to my elders, man. You know, we can't go past our experience. And we need to look at people like Brother Harry Belafonte, Sister Filet, Dick Gregory, know where Sojourner Truth's family is, know where Sister Harriet Tubman's family is. They still exist. They're still living today. Where
right,
are
that's
they?
That's right, brother. Listen, unfortunately, we are down to our last couple of minutes.
I wish we could keep this dialogue going, but what we got to do is a part two, maybe in the very near future. In fact, Brother Dice, once you drop that officially drop your CD, we'll get you back and we'll do some recapping. But we want to take one more call. We only have a few more moments, but this person has been holding for a while, and I don't want to, you know, not have you come in. You're at 9302. You only got 1 minute, but give us your comment or your question tonight. 9302. Okay. You had your opportunity. You only have a few minutes. Okay.
All right.
What
happened to Trayvon Martin's straw man account?
Oh, you know what? That's an interesting question. What happened
to
every black
sure
man's straw man account? It goes directly back to the Queen of England, I believe. Probably.
Wow, now that's a very interesting way to end this segment. Family, I want to thank you all. That was on point, sister. Thank you for that. We're going to revisit that question again in the very near future because that's really a topic that we've got to go deeper into. Brother Yasin, I got you back. I saw what happened. We've been having some problems tonight, but we're going to give you the final couple of minutes here to close us out.
Well, most definitely, once again, it was a very powerful show. Dice Raw, it's a pleasure for you to come in again and drop the knowledge. And Brother Jamie, everyone that got on the line, chimed in, and all of the listeners, just understanding that there are individuals out here trying to make a move through the fog, through the clouds. And change will come because it's a full circle. And just like the brother said, Harriet Tubman, all of our leaders, we can't go beyond the experience that they gave us, but we can implement what they gave us and create a new experience. So, peace, joy, and one.
All right.
Thank you all for
Brother
showing.
Dice, I thank
brothers,
you also. Go ahead.
Before
thank
the
you.
Brothers pledges on us, take off, can they give me their information so I can contact them, please?
Oh yes, at Dice Raw on Twitter. It's real simple. The at Sendel and then just Dice Raw. And just, you know, send me a direct message or follow me and I'll follow right back. And
okay.
Yeah,
I'm my brother, I'm at IAM360WiseGuy. So
the number
the letter I A-M, and yes, the numbers, 360 Wise Guy. I am 360 Wise Guy on Twitter.
Okay.
And in the background, family, we're going to go out with none other than, as we started, John Coltrane. This one is Afro Blue. We thank all of you for tuning in again to this segment of today, Resurrection. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. Remember, there can be no real Hotep, no real peace, unless there's truly Ma'at, meaning justice. Justice, Ma'at is also truth, balance, and reciprocity. Until next time, family, we leave you with all of that and then some as we move forward now in power, prosperity, and ultimately peace. Thanks to all again, family, for tuning in. Dice Rob. We'll talk to you soon. You in Philly, we're going to connect. Trust me.
You got